This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Talking Horses. Happy New Year. Already it's flying by, and we're on the lead-in to the Magic Millions yearling sales on the Gold Coast. All the yearling inspections are underway, the social action begins today, and the sales kick off on Wednesday. More on that shortly. Also this week, we check in with Brent Thompson for our New Zealand Bloodstock segment, and also chat with New Zealand's biggest agent, David Ellis. We talk to him on a number of fronts. Firstly, the remarkable recovery popular and talented racehorse Ginger Nuts is making after suffering serious injury over the spring, and also get David's thoughts on the upcoming Caracas sales at the end of the month. But first, let's focus on the sale here at home this week with Barry Bowditch.
Exciting times up on the Gold Coast with busy yearling inspections underway ahead of the 2018 Gold Coast Magic Millions yearling sale, which begins on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Barry Bowditch, who is the incoming managing director of the company, joins us on the program this morning. How are you, Barry?
Good morning, Joe. Yeah, no, fantastic. It's great up here at the Gold Coast at the moment. The horses are rolling in on the complex. There's plenty of buyers around and getting into a busy week.
It's always a great energy, isn't it, the lead into the sale with the inspections taking place and all the speculation that might be going on?
Exactly. Well, first sale of the year, you know, everyone anticipates, everyone gets very excited just to be a part of it and, you know, anticipates what the market's going to be. No one actually knows until we sort of get underway, but it's good to get people here and to get into the vibe, and with the weather as good as it is at the moment and the vibe of the carnival beginning, you know, we've got the polo on today, which is a big crowd expected out there, and then we roll into the barrier draw and the launch party on Tuesday down at the beach at Surfers Paradise, which we expect to have a big roll out there, and then we get into the sale on Wednesday, which, you know, as I said, you know, there's a good, solid catalogue here, very consistent lot of horses, plenty of race horses here, so we're quite excited to get rolling.
The polo's been a popular addition to the carnival fixture, hasn't it?
It has. You know, today, you know, we've got our new ambassador, Polo Alpha and Ambassador Nacho Figueroa, who's flown in with his daughter for the week, and he'll be playing, as well as a bit of jockey and trainer game today, which Hugh Bowman's a part of. So Mick Price, I think, is playing as well. So it'll be pretty exciting day. It's a great spectacle, and we've got a beautiful day for it.
Mm. So book one, the sale begins on Wednesday at 10 a.m. and will run through until Saturday night. 853 horses catalogued this year. Barry, how do you sum up the catalogue this year?
It's our biggest lineup ever. 853 is the most we've ever had in book one, which I think instills a great depth in our catalogue this year. You know, the catalogue, it's gone to a new level with the consistency of the types. We've got better pedigrees than we've ever had before, and the feedback we're getting off the buyers, you know, we had sort of 80-plus inspectors go up to the Hunter Valley. You know, buyers come to the Hunter Valley there in December and go through a lot of the yearlings up there, 500 yearlings. And the feedback we've got since then has been quite phenomenal. So, you know, the lead into the sale is built from there, and we're pretty excited by what we've got, and we're hoping there's a few more winxes and capitalists and dissidents and horses that'll shape people's lives and change them. So we're pretty excited by what we've got.
The company always works very hard to attract a strong international buying bench. How's that looking this year?
Yeah, we're in good shape. We've got buyers coming from a lot of Asians coming into town for the sale, China and Hong Kong and Singapore, as well as we've got a good representation from Europe. A lot of the key agents from Europe are here in town. And then obviously America. America, we've got a good representation from there again. So, you know, from an international point of view, we've worked quite hard to obviously build our brand and promote the sale to them. And we've got good representation from all over the world this year, which we're pleased about.
And are the South Africans prominent?
The South Africans will be here. You know, the RAND doesn't make it easy for them, but we'll have a handful of South Africans here as well. But due to the RAND, it's not an easy task for them to compete in. But we'll have a few here for sure.
And what about on the domestic side of things? Who are you expecting to be the leading players?
Oh, I think, you know, I don't think too much will change. You know, we'll have James Harron do it. He does his colt funds and his, you know, new exciting filly syndication, and you'll have the Gay Waterhouses and all the key trainers. I expect to be at the forefront of the market, but I think, you know, the depth in the domestic market due to the prize money we've got and, you know, the vibe within our racing industry here, I just think it's so deep and, know, a lot of all these syndicates doing such a good job to promote our product that makes it very easy to market our yearlings within Australia. So we're quite excited about all that.
And how do you see the success of the Everest concept, which was introduced for the first time last year, impacting on the sale?
Oh, it's only a positive. You know, to put that amount of prize money out and then for it to be won by an Australian horse that we were fortunate enough to sell and a syndicator actually raced. So, you know, it gives everyone a hope, doesn't it? You know, everyone's living the dream. So with that with that sort of horse doing what it's done, it gives everyone the dream to compete.
And the actual Magic Millions race day, which takes place on the 13th of January, is also making it much more attractive for people to buy at the sale with the hope of eventually racing at that meeting, which offers so much in prize money.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it's basically exclusive just to our sales graduates. And having a $10 million day here at the Gold Coast, you know, over the last six to 8 weeks, you know, the build-up into it, all the horses trying to qualify, not only for the two-rod race, but every other race, you know, getting their prize map and their benchmarks up. You know, the build-up to it this year has been extraordinary, and we're very pleased with the fields we've got. We've got, you know, great nominations, quality horses in each race, and we're quite excited by what the fields look like they're going to be come Saturday.
And the quality of that race day has improved quite dramatically, hasn't it, in recent years, Barry?
Well, you put the prize money on, you get the horses, don't you? You know, like last year, having the Huston Eagles or the Stratum Stars buffering 2 years ago, we're getting the best horses that Australia has to offer to come here and race, you know. And, you know, it's mid-season for them, you know. It's not the spring, it's not the autumn. So to be able to attract these horses to our race day, we're extremely proud of what the day's become.
And, Barry, how's Book 2 looking as a catalogue? That sale, of course, begins on Sunday, the 14th of January.
Yeah, no, the Book 2, those horses are here on the grounds as well at the moment, and there's a lot of lovely horses amongst them. You know, obviously some of them don't have the pedigree of the Book 1 horses, but it's a good, solid catalogue. We've gone out and selected those yearlings, and, you know, F Troop, who was bought as a favourite for the Magic Millions, he was bought out of that sale last year. Hoots, and the year before the Magic Millions winner, she was bought out of the Book 2. So there'll be obviously some good horses in amongst that. So, you know, I do tell buyers not to leave early. There'll be still some nice horses come Book 2.
And Godolphin are expected to be playing at the sale this year.
Yeah, you know, obviously I speak to Vin quite often, you know, about it, and he, you know, they're not sure exactly what they're going to do, but you know, the indication is that they might sign a docket or two and take it from there. So I don't think they're going to set the sale results alight, but it'd be great to see them participate at any level.
Longer term, it certainly does change the game for them and the industry a bit, doesn't it?
It does. What they've done worldwide this year, and now they're going to take it on here in Australia. It's quite exciting, and I guess you know, with all the changes there, it's a very positive look for the outfit.
And how do you manage your energy levels over this next couple of weeks, Barry? How will you be feeling come close of sale on the 16th?
Well, it's an arduous week. It's all a blur this week. You just sort of go on to the next day, whether you're, you know, hosting people at dinner or, you know, building to the sale. You know, it comes and goes quite quickly. And obviously after that, Vin leaves and I step into his shoes. So, you know, it's not too far away, which I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, you must be really looking forward to that, Barry. A very exciting and deserved opportunity.
Yeah, no, I cannot wait. And, you know, the feedback on it's all been great. So I'm looking forward to the challenge.
You've certainly had plenty of grooming for the role.
Yes, exactly. You know, been doing it for quite a while now, Joe, so, you know, the time's come to step up, and looking forward to it.
Barry, thanks for talking to us on the program. All the best of luck for the next week or so up there on the Gold Coast, and enjoy the polo this afternoon.
Excellent. Appreciate your time, Joe. Thank you.
That's Barry Bowditch, who will take over as Managing Director of Magic Millions post the sale that begins on Wednesday this week. Very exciting times in the yearling sales market across Australia. Countdown is well and truly on to Karaka 2018 coming up at the end of this month. New Zealand Bloodstock's Brent Thompson joins us again on the program this week to discuss the sale and some of the news in and around that. How are you this morning, Brent?
On a very hot Melbourne morning.
Scorching temperatures. Will the sales ring be scorching at Karaka in a few weeks' time, do you think?
We'd like to think so. You know, all the right ingredients there, and you know, obviously this week everyone's gung-ho getting to north to Queensland for the sale, and you know, and then ours comes along very quickly after that. So I think there's a lot of I think there's always a lot of excitement in the air leading up to you know, the current yearling sales.
And so much of what happens on the Gold Coast can translate to some of the outcomes in New Zealand. It sets the tone, doesn't it, for the buoyancy of the market?
Yes. I'm personally not going up there, but, you know, a number of our main team get there because, you know, it's also part of a, you know, meet and greet and get the feel of what's going on in the marketplace. And, you know, it's a lot of the size, of course, that it will be selling up there will be in our sales. So it'll be interesting. And you know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of people because that you know, go there and come back with not enough stock. So you know, that only you know, feeds on to ours for that side of it too.
And Brent, there's a bit of talk that Godolphin might be buying on the Gold Coast this year.
Yes, well, woke up this morning, Joe, and I was reading ANZ, and it led off with the fact that, of course, Vin Cox will be in a major role in Godolphin this year, the news is that he'd had meetings with Sheikh Mohammed and Princess Haya, and that a bit of change in tact, as they've done in England and the European sales, and it looks like they'll be buying to some degree at Magic Millions, and we would hope, you know, that that would flow onto us too. Last year they actually bought at our sale, so let's hope that's the case this year. Well, it's great to see too, because you know, they spread, you know, the article said that it's also supporting trainers, owners that buy from their stallions and go to their stallions too.
Okay, well, that's significant, isn't it? And talking to David Ellis on the program this week as well, and we touched on this last week, the amazing recovery of the very popular New Zealand horse, Ginger Nuts. He's made good progress in the news this week, and David Ellis will again be a very big player at Karaka 2018.
Yes, he's an enormous player at our sales. I suppose he's also very parochial too for Karaka and New Zealand bloodstock, but you know, that's home for him as well, and so you know, he's a very big player at our sales, or the biggest player at our sales in terms of number, in terms of dollars. He's a you know, a great advocate for it, and it's great to read that, because you know, so often with the likes of Ginger Nuts, we've seen it even with sires that have, you know, injured themselves and you know, they have surgery, and so much so many times is the case that you know, things can start all right and then they deteriorate. And he did have a bit of a hiccup, and you know, you fear the worst. I think we spoke about that, Joe, just a couple of weeks ago, and you know, you fear the worst that it won't go that way. But that's quite very encouraging to read that this morning, that he's looking good, and you know, I mean, not totally out of the woods, but it's encouraging, and you know, nice to save a horse that's been so good to them.
Brent, thanks for joining us on the program again this week, and we look forward to welcoming you back next week as we get closer to the big sale across the Tasman.
Great, Joe. Have a good day.
That's Brent Thompson from New Zealand Bloodstock as we count down to Karaka 2018. Back to the program. Well, things are looking up for the injured gelding Ginger Nuts after a major setback in his rehabilitation. The New Zealand star suffered a fractured pastern on the way to the barriers for the Group 1 Emirates Stakes at Flemington in November. He had surgery to correct the break at the University of Melbourne Veterinary Clinic at Werribee before being transferred to the Kings Park Equine Clinic. He was taken back to Werribee after an infection scare last month before being returned to Kings Park, where he is now on the mend. Tiaco Racing's David Ellis joins us on Talking Horses this week to discuss Ginger Nut's recovery. How are you, David?
Very good, Joe. Thank you.
So, good news in the latest updates for Ginger Nut's, a very popular racehorse that he is.
Yeah, no, it's certainly very encouraging, and we're really hopeful that in early February he can come back to New Zealand and have a good spell at Tiak, our stud, and then we can, in due course, make a decision on his future.
Mm. One of the latest tweets, and it's been great that we've been kept up to date so well on his progress, did say that he's been doing well at the rehab farm and his bloods have been stable and the bandage changed clear, he's off the painkillers and moving well. So it is quite remarkable that he's made this sort of recovery.
Yeah, it is, and it's a huge relief for us all. We've had some worrying times with him, but he's been under very good care, and we're thrilled that we're going to get the all clear for him to come back to New Zealand.
Mm. And that is the key, isn't it? The veterinary team managing this process has obviously been pivotal to his ability to recover in this way.
For sure, absolutely.
So is it possible, do you think, that he may race again?
Yes, I think it is, but he would have to be 150% clear for us to risk putting him back into work. But there's a lot of good horses that have had the same sort of problem. You might remember a very good New Zealand colt called McGinty, who beat Mask A in the lead up to the slipper in his year, and his trainer Colin Gillings was a good friend of mine, and he rang me just the other day and said McGinty had a very similar problem, except he had one extra screw put into his joint and he won another 6 group ones after that. So providing he was 150% right, we'd certainly look to race him again, but the moment he looked like there was a problem, we'll retire him and he'll have a beautiful paddock here at the Arkow Stud for the rest of his life.
Oh, that's lovely to hear, David, that he has such an alternative option potentially. But let's hope that he does make it back to the racetrack. It would be a great story. And, David, it's been a great season for Tiako Racing, both domestically and internationally, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. We were lucky enough for Mark Walker to win the premiership in Singapore, and he won 22 races more than the next stable. And we had a vintage year in New Zealand, winning 20 black type races, including the Derby and the Caracamillion, and it was a really good year.
Yeah, it's quite amazing the success that you've had, but not surprising either, David. Your skills at selecting horses have been well proven for many years now, and every year your spend seems to get bigger.
Yeah, well, we've developed over a long period of time a huge ownership base of people that have been unbelievably loyal to us, and it's a very happy team, and when we buy these horses they seem to sell very quickly now, which is a great result for the industry and for our stable.
Mm. Well, Karaka's coming up at the end of this month, beginning on the 28th of January. How's your approach going into New Zealand's biggest sale?
Yeah, we've seen close to three quarters of the horses already, and they've got a slightly different format this year. So instead of having the premier sale, it's now called Book One, and there's an extra 250 horses in that sale. I think it's a really good format, and I think it'll work really well. We've got an incredibly exciting night of racing at Ellerslie on the Saturday before the sale, with two $1 million races, and every race on the program is a black-type race. And then we start the sale on Sunday night, And the horses that I've seen so far tell me that it's a vintage crop of yearlings, and there's some just lovely, outstanding mile and 2,000 metre horses. The other day I saw an I'm Invincible filly, for example, that would be welcome in any stable in the world. So we're really excited about the quality that we've seen going around the studs, and really looking forward to the start of the sale.
Given all of that and the trends of yearling sales last year, how do you see things playing out this time round market-wise?
Very strong. The New Zealand economy is booming, and I think there'll be huge interest from Australia and Asia and really all around the world. Last year it was very much an international sale, and I think the quality this year is probably better than last year with what we've seen. So, you know, it'll be a hard sale to compare with last year, because you won't be comparing apples with apples. But there's certainly a lot of nice horses for everybody in the sale, that's for sure.
It's been a big year in New Zealand news-wise with the recent announcement of the sale of Cambridge Stud and Sir Patrick Hogan bowing out there.
Yes, it's a really exciting development for the whole of our breeding and racing industry, because Brendan and Joe Lindsay are incredibly passionate about the industry. They've made a huge success of everything they've touched in their lives. They're very loyal people. They're very clear thinkers, and I can really see that particular stud going from strength to strength. They've got a really top chief executive in Henry Plumtree, one of the best in the world, that is going to run it for them. And Brendan and Joe are just so passionate about racing, and they're going to take it to the next level. So I'm really looking forward to being part of it all.
Yeah, there's been big positive changes in the industry generally in New Zealand over the past 12 months, also with the appointment of former head of Racing Victoria, Bernard Saundry, to New Zealand's Racing Board.
Yeah, that's right. And we've also got some very exciting new developments that are coming, because the new Minister of Racing, as part of his commitment, is making some very big announcements in the next few weeks, and that will see prize money go up. It will see the Inland Revenue Department honour previous pledges with depreciation, and overall it's going to be a huge plus for our industry.
That is terrific news regarding the new racing minister and the support for the sport. We've seen this before in not too distant times past with Sir Winston Peters, who really gave an injection of cash to the industry.
Yeah, no, he was. He really understands the industry, understands the contribution that racing makes to the general economy, and it's great to see a government finally do that. We've seen the Victorian and New South Wales government, and even Queensland in recent times, wake up to the fact that racing is a huge contributor to the economy. Not only in the people that it employ, but also for the entertainment that it provides, the export value that it has, and many other different reasons. So it's great that racing in New Zealand's finally going to get a boost and have a supportive government behind it.
Very encouraging. And David, on the racetrack in this early part of the new year and beyond, as we head into the autumn carnivals here in Australia, where are we likely to see the orange and blue colours in the winner's circle?
Well, we've got two really good three-year-old colts. One's called Embellish, who won the 2,000 guineas. He's a good miler by Savabeel, and he's going to go to the Crack a Million and then over to Australia for the Australian guineas, and then he'll go up to Sydney for the Autumn Carnival. And we've got a particularly good Fastnet Rock Colt that actually ran second in the 2,000 guineas. And he won at Ellerslie on Boxing Day. And he's going to the Group 1 at Wellington next Saturday. And then he'll go down the New Zealand Derby path. And then we hope to bring him to Sydney for the AJC Derby.
Terrific. What was his name, David, that particular horse?
He's called Age of Fire. He's by Fastnet Rock out of a Galileo mare that I bought from Coolmore Stud.
Okay, very good. Well, exciting times. Thanks for bringing us up to date with the Ginger Nuts recovery. We'll follow his progress with great interest, and all the best of luck in the ring at Karaka at the end of this month.
Thank you very much, Joe.
That's David Ellis, one of the leading players in New Zealand racing, joining us on Talking Horses to discuss many things, the recovery of Ginger Nuts from a near-fatal injury, and, of course, Karaka, looking forward to that big sale coming up in just a few weeks' time.
Welcome back to the program. One of Victoria's leading thoroughbred nurseries, Three Bridges Thoroughbreds, has a huge draft in the Magic Millions yearling sale this week. And Toby Liston, who's up on the coast, joins us this morning on the program. How are you, Toby?
Great, thanks, Joe. Yeah, pleasure to be on your show.
Doing plenty of miles, showing those horses off?
Yeah, it's a really good time of the year. Obviously, the trainers had a long year and some of the breeders, so to get up on the Gold Coast away, it's a working holiday and, yeah, everybody's all smiles and happy.
And how's the vibe been around your draft?
No, it's really positive. We obviously work really hard, securing good mares, go to our stallions and external stallions. And, yeah, we've been well received so far. It's only early days. We've got a long way to go. But, yeah, pretty positive and looking forward to Wednesday.
I bet you are. Now, you've got 10 horses entered in this year's sale, and it's a 50-50 split of colts and fillies.
Yeah, we identify horses that are forward and obviously for this sale, and we target them from weaning sales onwards. And yeah, we've got five colts and five fillies, and they all got here safely, so yeah, onwards and upwards.
And there's a number of Pieros in that draft, and well, we're seeing what those horses are doing on racetracks around Australia at the moment. He's absolutely on fire, the sire, so you'd be expecting them to perform well in the ring, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. There's interestingly enough, the seven stakes winners have been out of Daniel Lyon mares, and both mine are the same. So, yeah, they've been well received to date. And obviously, got one of the favourites for the 3-year-old Magic Millions in Pierre Arthur. So, yeah, pretty confident they'll find a nice home.
Mm. So, what are your assessments of this year's draft compared to previous years that Three Bridges has had horses entered in the sale?
It's probably our strongest draft to date. But I suppose we're placing a big emphasis on getting better mares and better quality stock to the farm. So I suppose we should be going up and increasing our stock. We've got a four-year-old Sebring mare called Sedanza. She's one of the favourites for the Fillies and Mares race for Gay Waterhouse. So if she could win, that'd be nice timing for the draft as well.
Mm. And how do the unencumbereds look this year?
Yeah, he's obviously a previous precocious 2-year-old and Magic Millions winner himself, and he's got a fantastic record, the Magic Millions, of making stallions. So, yeah, we've got five here by him, and they've been well received. So, yeah, we're pretty excited about them as well.
Mm. What, for you, are the highlight lots in your mob?
We've got a lovely unencumbered filly out of Absolutely Fabulous. We sold her sister last year to Gay for $325,000, a more than ready filly, and another one, 850,000, and she's just a standout quality, strong filly that you could see winning the race in next year, actually. But we've probably got one of our nicer colts is a Blaze and Bow colt out of a stakes producing Roy's just in there called Bella Jewel. So he's been a highlight to date. And interestingly, to see that the Dolphin is back buying, so that'll be exciting to see if he ends up with the Cummingses or not.
Yeah, what do you take out of that announcement this week, Toby? It's obviously enormously positive for the Australian racing and breeding industry, that news. It changes the game a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. The industry's in fantastic hands and it's really healthy at the moment. But, yeah, it's good to see. Obviously, we support Daly Stallion, so it's good to see them buying their progeny out of the sale. So that'll be really positive. And, yeah, James has done a terrific job in his short time at Godolphin. And, yeah, long may it continue because he's a terrific young person. And, obviously, they're very successful at what they do.
This Brazen Bow colt that you've got in the sale is lot 542, as you mentioned, out of Bella Jewel. Has he really thrown to the sire? Does Brazen Bow start
them? Yeah, he has. He's certainly Brazen Bow is a son of I'm Invincible, and they're just strapping, strong, muscular horses that have terrific movement. So I'm Invincible is obviously one of the hottest sires in the country, and Brazen Bow is no doubt going to be one of the most popular first season sires as well. And as you know, in Victoria Joe, we have Vobis sires now, so he's eligible for the $1 million race for only Victorian horses, so it's pretty exciting. And I know there's a lot of owners and breeders targeting that series, and yeah, he's eligible for that, being based in Victoria, Brazen Bow, so it's pretty exciting.
And you're on, of course, the TBV board, Toby, and no doubt the Victorian contingent of vendors and buyers, for that matter, really stick together up on the Gold Coast, don't they?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we've got a tight-knit group of good breeders, and we're obviously just trying to continuously improve. So that's, it's a good fit for everyone in Victoria, but obviously we've got the best racing carnival in the country, so it's, we're just trying to increase our breeding stocks than we have in recent years. We're next to Woodside Park up here, and they've got a lovely draft of the Zoo Stars and Written Tycoon, so they've taken the selling to Victoria to another level as well. So, yeah, we stick together and we've got good camaraderie and help each other out where possible. And obviously, we've all got the same goal. We all want to breed supreme athletes and just try to help each other out along the way.
Yeah, that's terrific, Toby. Unfortunately, last year, some challenges within the Liston family with your father, Peter, falling ill. Tell us what the latest is there.
No, he's good. He doesn't need chemo and he's bouncing around. And it was his goal to come up to the Magic Man, so he's coming up on Monday. So he's been walking, getting fit, and obviously he's got a reprieve, and it could have been a lot worse. Obviously, a lot of people face cancer battles out there, but we've got a terrific family, and we also had Grandma pass away this year, so it's been a bit of a tough year, but the horses look fantastic, and 2018's a new year, so we're all positive now. So, yeah, it'd be great to see his dad when he comes up here, and that's why the Magic Million sale is so good. It's a way, it's different, it's a fresh start. Everybody brings their family, has a holiday. I've been up since four, I've gone to do the yearlings, and I get to play with my kids for a couple of hours before I have to go back out and parade this morning. So, yeah, it's just a great atmosphere, and Magic's do a great job, make you feel really comfortable, and obviously we've got the $10 million race day to cap it off.
And I know that Peter wanted to use this as an opportunity to warn people out there that they should be on the front foot when it comes to getting checks for bowel cancer.
Yes, my father Peter, he had the test kit sent to him and didn't do it for a year. And he was just playing with the grandkids one day and thought, oh, this is too much fun, I better go and check my health out. And he found it early and they took a section of his bowel out. Obviously very painful and a massive operation, but yeah, early detection is the key, and yeah, he just encourages everybody now that he talks to you to go and have one, and I reckon he's made 50 people go and have a colonoscopy now, but it's all for the good. It's something that you say, like, it can be fixed, and obviously is such an important part of your life, health, so he's a big advocate for that now, but yeah, thankfully he's on the mend and he'll live a long, happy life.
Yeah, well, it'll be a good tonic for him and all of you, for that matter, if you can come away from the Magic Millions with some good sales results. So what's your early prediction as a sales topper in your draft?
Probably the Brazen Bows up there, and I've got two lovely shooting to win, a colt and a filly. One, a grey filly from the Family's Emancipation, and a lovely colt out of a General Doom there. So, yeah, they're probably my three standouts. But again, we just sell good value horses that can run, so you won't have to pay a fortune for a lot of our horses, but hopefully the end product's a good racehorse, and they're always cheap if they can run, Joe, as you know.
Exactly. Well, Toby, thanks for joining us. I know it's a busy morning for you. As you said, you've been up since 4 a.m. this morning getting horses prepared for inspections today. The sale, of course, kicking off on Wednesday. I hope they sell well for you.
Thanks very much, Joe. All the best.
That's Toby Liston from Three Bridges Thoroughbreds with a lovely draft of horses at the Magic Millions sales this week. And that's- that's all we've got time for on this week's edition of Talking Horses. Hope you enjoyed the program. Our thanks to special guests this week, David Ellis from Tiako Racing, Three Bridges Farms, Toby Liston, New Zealand Bloodstock's Brent Thompson, and Barry Bowditch from the Magic Millions. If you're heading up there for a look, to buy or to sell, all the best, and we look forward to reviewing the big sale on next week's show. Until then, take care. Bye for now.